Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra Daf Lamed Test. Today's shiur is sponsored by Elisha and Daniela Graf, Lezecher Nishmas, Elisha's grandmother, Shifra Breina, Basra Avram Moshe, whose yard site is today, and Neshama Shav and Aliyah from the Zchus for Learning, and we thank Elisha and Daniela very much for the sponsorship. We're holding at the bottom of Daf Lamed Ches and Beis, and we're first going to discuss the exact language of a macha'a. If a person wants to make a macha'a because someone is being machzik in his karka, what exactly does he have to say? What points does he have to hit in the macha'a? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether a macha'a works if the person who hears it is either being told not to tell it to the person who's being machzik, or he volunteers that he's not going to tell it to the person who's being machzik. Is such a macha'a a valid macha'a or not? Then the Gemara is going to discuss Rava's opinion about macha'a shalom b'fadav. He's going to try to bring a raya from Shitas Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. And then we're going to have a machlokas, whether a macha'a has to be in front of two people or in front of three people. How many people need to be there when you make a macha'a? The Gemara is going to have three explanations of that machlokas, whether it needs to be in front of two people or in front of three people. And through the first explanation of that machlokas, we're going to introduce probably one of the more well-known concepts in Hilchos Lashon Hara, which is that ba'apei tlasa, anything that's said in front of three people, less b'mishum lishna bisha, no longer is subject to Lashon Hara. So we're going to have to discuss a little bit what that means exactly. Does that mean that it's a complete free-for-all, that as soon as three people know about it, everyone's allowed to say whatever they want, or what exactly are the limitations? How exactly do the Rishonim understand that? And then in the middle of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss how often a mecha'a has to be made. Let's say I made a mecha'a once, so I have to keep on renewing it every year if the guy is still machzik in my karko, or every 3 years, or is it good enough that I said the mecha'a once, and therefore I was on record as saying that I'm not happy about the fact that this fellow is in my karka. So let's begin three lines from the bottom of the page on Lamid Ches Amud Beis. Heichi dami mecha'a. How does one formulate a mecha'a? Amra Zvid, Planya gazlanahu, lo have your macha'a. If you just say, planya gazlanahu, this guy is a gazlan, that is not a macha'a. So he's a gazlan, that's something about his character, it's nothing about your karka, it's nothing about him living there without permission. But if you say, planya gazlanahu, why? Tidnakid la la arayi begazlanusa, ulamachar tavana le ledina, have your macha'a. But if you include all of these elements, you explain that you believe him to be a gazlan because he's in your land, begazlanusa. And you confirm that, you commit that lemachat avanu leladina, that you have plans in the future of going and being toveya him to a din Torah. So that's actually going to be a valid form of macha'a. A couple of things over here: the rishonim of machlokas, whether the ma'arer has to say Ploni Gazlanu, or what if he does? What if he leaves out that first phrase? I mean, are we including that first phrase because that's what we said was the invalid machas? So we're saying, no, you don't have to. You can't just say that. You have to also add. But maybe it's not also add. Maybe you don't have to say that at all. You don't have to say he's a Gazlan. You could just say, I'm not making any character assumptions. All I know is that he's in my karka shalom bershus. He's in my karka big Gazlanus. I'm not saying that he is the Gazlan. I'm saying what he's doing is Gazlanus. So Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rush hold that saying Ploni Gazlanu is not makev at all. And even if he just says Ploni Yoshev Bekarkoi Begazlanos Va'at Ve'enu, that's a valid macha. And the reason it says Ploni Gazlan is agav, what Rav Zvid had said, that saying Ploni Gazlan is insufficient. So we're saying, okay, no, you have to add these extra phrases as well. The Ritva, however, disagrees. He holds that the Lashon Ploni Gazlanu is ma'akev the macha'a. If he only says Ploni Yochel Bekarkoi Begazlanus Va'at Ve'enu Lidin, that is not a macha'a, because that would work even if you sold him the karka and he hasn't paid you for it yet. So you have to make it very clear that you haven't sold him the karka. Now, Ploni Gazlan, who adds that he went into that karka b'toras gazlan, not just that right now he turned out to be a gazlan by failing to have paid, but no, that he went into the karka b'toras gazlanus, and that's what's added by saying Ploni Gazlanhu. Also, the Rashbam and the Rush point out that Rav Zvid, who explains the Nusach of the Macha'a, is only if it's Shalom Bifnei HaMachzik, that you have to say all of this if you're not saying it right in front of the Machzik. But it sounds that if you say it Bifnei HaMachzik, you don't need this whole Nusach. You just have to say Ata Gazlan Shiyoshev B'Karkoi, and that's enough. That's already considered a Macha'a. But if you want the word to get back to him, and you want to get it back to him in exactly the right right way. So then you need to say all of this. Amar lo temer le mai. Second line from the top, Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. What if you'd say, don't tell him? I don't mean you make the macha in front of however many people you need to make the macha in front of, and you tell those people, don't tell the guy who's being machzik that I made this macha'a. So then what's the din? Amar Rav Zvid, hakamar lo temer le. Well, that can't be a good macha'a. You told him not to say, and the whole point of macha'a is that the person who's being machzik is going to find out, and he's going to know that he has to be in his dar b'shtare, that he's got to be careful about his shtar. Rav Papa Amar, lididei lo temer le, la'achrinu emru le. That no, when you said don't tell him, you made it clear, don't tell him, but apparently the people you told the macha to are permitted to tell other people, and once they tell other people, don't worry, the machzik will find out about it. Chavrcha chavr islay, chavr de chavrcha chavr islay, word is going to get around, this one's going to speak to that one, it will speak to that one, ultimately the machzik will find out. So Rav Papa says, even with the instructions of Lo Temrulay, it is a valid macha. The Chavetz Chaim in Chelek Aleph Klal Beis says that Yesh topic. If a person says Lashon Hara about another person in front of three people, and he makes a tenai with them that they shouldn't tell it to the other person, to the person who was told about, are they allowed to tell it to other people like anything else? That's Ba'apetlas. Ba'apetlas, you're allowed to share the Lashon Hara. Again, we'll see that there are limitations on that, but assuming you have those limitations, so what if you were instructed not to say it to the person about whom the Lashon Hara was about? So says the Chavetz Chaim, the Lachora, from this sugya, it's muchach that it's mutter, because according to Rav Papa, if you say that you shouldn't tell the machzik, it's still a good macha'a, because what you meant is don't tell the machzik, but do tell other people. So l'chara, the same is true by Lashon Hara, that they could tell other people that has the same din as apetlas. But then he says, maybe we could be machalik between the halachos of Lashon Hara and the halachos of macha'a. And we'll see why. There are good reasons to be machalik between the two, meaning it all depends on what the understanding of the heter of apetlasa is. Why would something become mutter just because, to badmouth a person, just because it was said in front of three people? So we'll have to see that maybe there's a svara to be mechalik. Says the Gemara further, Amrulei, lo amrinanlei. What if you didn't instruct them not to tell the machzik, but they say, look, we're not getting involved. We're not going to tell the machzik. You know, you could be screaming in front of us. It doesn't matter. We're not telling him. Amrazid hakamrulei lo amrinanlei. So Zid said that's not a good machzik. They committed not to share that information with the machzik. If they're not going to share the information with the machzik, by definition, it's not a good macha'a. Rav Papa Amar l'didei lo amrinilei, la'achrini amrilehu. No, they're only saying that they're not going to tell the machzik, but they're certainly going to tell other people. So even though they committed themselves not to say, but they only committed not to say to the machzik, they never committed not to say to other people. And once they say to other people, chavrcha chavr islay, v'chavr d'chavrcha chavr islay, the word is going to easily get around, people are going to find out, and therefore, even though they committed not to tell the machzik, the macha is a valid macha. So those are the two cases where we have a clear machlokas, that if either they were instructed not to tell the machzik, or they committed not to tell the machzik, machlokas whether it's a valid macha or not. Amr luhu, now we change it a little bit. He doesn't say don't tell the machzik, he says, lo tepik luhu shusa, I don't want you to breathe a word about this to anybody. I mean, don't say anything to anybody. Amr azid haka amar lo tepik luhu shusa. So that there's no machlokas. He said, don't breathe a word about this to anybody. You can trust that they're going to keep it somewhat secret, and therefore the word is not going to get back. So that is therefore not a valid macha'a. But amru lei, what if you didn't instruct them not to say a word about it? They said to the person making the macha, to the ma'arer, lo mafkinan shusa, we will not say a word about it to anybody. Amrav Papa, kamri lei lo mafkinan shusa. So Rav Papa says, well, they said they're not going to say anything about it, and therefore it's not a valid macha. Rav Hun Brid Rav Shua Amar, no, kol milsa de lo rami alei de inish, Amr lava lava daite. Whenever it wasn't compelled, they weren't compelled to stay quiet. They chose to stay quiet, so that they're not going to be so committed, because it was only their own statement that they're not planning on telling anybody. But no one's forcing them not to tell anybody, and therefore, if the conversation is flowing and may, oh, I know about that guy. There's a macha against him or something like that. So it will come out because they're not on guard to make sure that it doesn't come out. This comment of Amar Lehu Lo Teipik L'Chu Shusa, that they're instructed not to say anything, that everyone agrees that it's not a valid macha, because the whole purpose of the macha is that the machzik is going to hear about it, so he'll know to be careful about the shtar. So the ma'ara tries to make sure that no one should find out about it, so then it's obviously not a valid macha. And the Rabbeinu Yonah just adds that such a macha is considered, has the status of a sod, it has the status of a secret, which you're not allowed to reveal. Meaning, if a person says, don't say this to anybody, it's like sharing private information, where the halacha is that one is not allowed to reveal private information. There is a machlokas haposkim, though, in the following case. Let's say you tell the people that you're making the macha in front of, do not breathe a word about this, I don't want you to say anything to anybody. And they say anyway. They don't listen. They go and they say. And the machzik hears about it. The machzik hears that there was this secret macha made that he didn't want to get out. Is that a valid macha now? Meaning, can the person develop a chazaka? Can the machzik get a chazaka with Gimel Shanim? Or do we say, no, he heard about the macha, so meila, it's not a valid chazaka. The Shach and Choshe Mishpat Simen Kuf Mem Vav writes that if they told the machzik that there was an error against him, there was a macha against him, and they didn't tell him that he was told, that they were told not to say anything to anybody, the chazaka is not going to be a valid chazaka, even though the macha was improper. It was not done Kedina, but the purpose of the macha was met. The purpose of a macha is to let the word be known to the machzik, to be shomer of the shtar, so he should guard the shtar. However, the ketzos and the nesivos disagree with the shach. They say, no, that's not a macha at all. They say, imagine the following case. What if there was no macha made by the balasada at all, and people on their own went and told the machzik that the balasada made a macha? But it's not true. He never made a macha. Are you going to say that's a valid macha as well? So say the ketzos and the nesivos can't be. If he never made a macha, it's obviously not going to be a valid macha. So what difference does it make whether he didn't make a macha at all or he made a halachically unacceptable macha? In either case, the macha does not count. One could have argued that maybe in that case it would be a good macha, meaning it all depends on what the point of emphasis is. Is it that you need a macha, or is it that that there needs to be a reis on the chazaka, that the chazaka has to be that the whole purpose of chazaka is where's your shtar, and he has a good answer to where's your shtar. So maybe as long as you take away the good answer to where's your shtar, because he should have known to be zayir b'shtare, maybe that's enough, and you don't need a technically good macha. That l'chor is the shita of the shach, whereas the ktsos and the nesivos put the emphasis on the macha. It's not about the chazaka, it's about the macha, and it's only going to work if there's a technically valid macha. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Amar Rava Nachman, macha shelo b'fanav havya macha. Rava comments in the name of Rav Nachman, a macha not in front of the machzik is a valid macha. Eisivei Rava l'Rav Nachman, so Rava asks Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Yudah lo Amar shaloshanim el kadesh sheyeheba aspanya v'yachzik shana. What did Rabbi Yudah say in our Mishnah? Where do we come up with this number of 3 years? It's not Sharamuad, it's not anything. The idea of the 3 years is that the first year the guy's going to be living in the property, word is going to get out, and everyone's going to find out that he's living in that property. Then it will take someone a year to let the person, the Marakama, know about it, and it will take a year for the Marakama to get back home and say something about it. Why does he have to get back home to say something about it? If you hold the macha shelo b'fanav is a valid macha, why does he have to come home? Let him stay wherever he is in Aspamya, and let him make his macha over there, and it would still be a valid macha, because apparently macha shelo b'fanav is a valid macha. So says Mar, you're right, but Eitzatova Kamashmalan. Tenesiv Nishkal Aro Piri. We make Chazaka Gimel Shanim because the proper thing to do is to come home and make the macha, and it's the wise thing to do. Why is it the wise thing to do? Because the guy, if you don't go and stop this guy right now, he's going to continue eating the peros. And even if you are able to get your karka back, it's going to be very hard to get him to pay you back for the peros that he's eaten through all that time. So it's we made the din of Cheskas Gimel Shanim based on on what the proper and wise thing to do is, which is to come home. But ein hachinami, he doesn't really have to come home. He can make the macha from wherever he is, and that's what we and therefore you don't have any raya from Rabbi Yehuda that a macha shalom b'fanav is not a valid macha. It could be that a macha shalom b'fanav is a valid macha. Rabbeinu Yonah raises the question: the machlokas whether the macha shalom b'fanav is a macha or not is only when he's mocha in the same medina as the machzik. But when he's in a different medina, she'ena she'oras mitzuyos, where travel is restricted from one place to the other, everyone would hold that a macha shalom b'fanav is not a valid macha. So what's the Gemara asking from Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah? Why does he have to come home? He's in Aspamya. Let him just make the macha in Aspamya. Aspamya is a place she'ena she'oras mitzuyos. It's very far away from Eretz Yisrael. It's not travel. It's not common for people to be traveling back and forth from Aspamya back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's why he has to come back. So what kind of kasha? Why can't he just make the macha over there? So the Rabbi Yonu quotes a riva that the ma'arid ain't a chinami. He doesn't have to come all the way back meaning Enochinami, if he stays in Aspamya, you're right, it's not going to be a valid macha. What we're asking is, why does Rabbi Yehuda suggest that he needs to take a full year's journey to come all the way back to his property? L'chora, all he has to do is go to a city that has access to the property, which is not necessarily the full year's journey. Just go somewhere where there are Shayaros Mitzuyos. And that's the whole raya the Gemara is trying to bring. Why do we make him go all the way back home? It must be that you need a macha b'fanav. And on that, the Gemara says, no, you need to go all the way back home because you want to get your peros back. You want to recoup the peros that the person is eating. But Eino Chinami, there's no havamina that you can make the macha in Aspamya itself. Another question that the Rishonim deal with, and l'chora it's a much more fundamental question, is what exactly happened over here? Rava said in Nimrav Nachman, a macha shalom b'fanav does not work. So Rava asked on that, how could you say a macha shalom b'fanav does work? So asks Rava, how can you say a macha shalom b'fanav works? Rav Yehuda requires that you go back home and you tell it in front of his face. But what does the Tanakhama say? Meaning Rabbi Yehuda is a Das Yachid against the Rabbanan. Instead of bringing a Kasha from Rabbi Yehuda, why not bring a Raya from the Tanakhama that the Macha works, the Tanakhama holds that the 3 years has nothing to do with the travel time. So it sounds like according to the Tanakhama, a Macha Shalom B'Fanav is a valid Macha, that would be a Raya to Rav Nachman. So instead of asking a Kasha from Rabbi Yehuda, it should be a Raya to Rav Nachman. So the Ritva suggests that Rav was asking Rav Nachman because he understood that Rav Nachman was trying to say his Shita l'chaladeos, because if Rav Nachman was not trying to say a Shita l'chaladeos, he should have said halacha katanakama. From the fact that he said it as a blanket statement that a macha shalom b'fanav havya macha must mean that Rav Nachman wanted us to believe that all Tanoim agree that macha shalom b'fanav havya macha, and that's why Rav challenges him from Rav Yehuda, meaning enochinami, the Rabbanan agree with you, and la halacha you're probably right, but don't say this as if everyone agrees, because not everybody agrees. Clearly, Rabbi Yehuda does not agree. That's how the Rashbam explains. There is a group of Rishonim, Tosfos, Ramban, others that suggest that from the Tanakhama, it's not 100% mukhrach that a macha shalom b'fanav is a valid macha. It could be the reason the Tanakhama says that if the person has a chazaka in Yehuda and the ma'arer is in Yehuda, he has a chazaka, it's not because macha shalom b'fanav is a valid macha, it's because the ma'arer has to come and to be make a macha in the city of the machzik. But mi Yehuda l'Galil, it's not going to be a valid chazaka because the macha is not going to be heard up, all the way to the Galil. But if the chazaka was heard in the Galil, he would have to come and be mocha dafka in front of the machzik. But from Rabbi Yehuda, it's just more muchrach that a macha shalom b'fanav is not a macha because he has to actually come from Aspamya to make the macha in front of the machzik. So what Rav is arguing is min astam, the Tanakhama also agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that you need to make a macha b'fanav. Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda are only arguing about whether there's a chazaka from Yehuda to Galil, that according to the Tanakhama, from Yehuda to Galil, the chazaka won't be heard about, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, the chazaka will be heard about way past Yehuda de Galil, even all the way to Aspamia. But Mestama, whenever you have Machlokas Tanaim, you don't try to say that they're arguing about five different things. You say that they're right in line about most things, but then there's one point that's the Nekudas HaMachlokas. So we could look at the Mishnah and say, oh, the Tanakam and Rabbi are arguing about Machal Shel B'fanav, and they're arguing about whether a Chazaka could be developed from one city to the other city when the other person is in the other city. But why would you say that? Meaning it's much more Mestaber. Once we know that Rabbi Yudal's Machal Shel B'fanav is not a valid Macha'a, so it's much more Mestaber to say Tanakama agrees with that. What's their point of dispute? Their point of dispute is whether a chazaka works from one city to the next. And there's only one point of dispute. That's always the pashtus. That's always the better way to understand a machlokas tanaim. And that maybe is the basis of Rava's challenge over here. Says the Gemara on the last skinny line of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, mitkam mosav le Rava le Rav Nachman, from the fact that Rava challenges Rav Nachman over here, mechal de lo sfir le de mechal shalom b'fanav havi mecha. Sounds like Rava himself has a problem with saying mechal shalom b'fanav of is a valid macha. That's why he challenges it. He said, how could you say macha shalom b'fanav is a valid macha? I have a challenge for that. But Rava himself has said that a macha shalom b'fanav is a valid macha. Sansa's Gemara, Basra, the Shav Mir of Nachman, Savra. In Ochinami, Rava originally challenged Rav Nachman. Once Rav Nachman answered all the challenges, Rava accepted those answers, meaning it's okay to change your mind. It's a good thing that if you hear something that you believe to be true and you were corrected from your original opinion, to change your mind. Ashkechinu Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, the Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina saw the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. Amalu, mi am Rabbi Yochanan macha bekama? Did Rabbi Yochanan ever say how many people you need to say the macha in front of? A new topic. When you're making the macha, who do you make it to? Certainly you can't go into a room all by yourself and talk to the wall and make a macha. That's not going to be a valid macha. So how many people does the macha actually have to be made in front of? Rabbi Chiya bar Abba am Rabbi Yochanan macha b'fnei shnayim. Rabbi Avo am Rabbi Yochanan macha b'fnei shlosha. The different Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan had different reports of what their Rebbe had said. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, yeah, Rabbi Yochanan held the macha has to be made in front of two people. Rabbi Avo reported, no, he said it's got to be made in front of three people. The Aruch HaShulchan points out, when we say two people, so two people doesn't necessarily mean edus, meaning if those people are nashim, avadim, krovim, there's no psulei macha'a. As long as word is going to get out, as long as people are going to let them know, so then it's going to, he says, however, katanim probably is not a valid macha'a. Because if children say things, people dismiss what children say. They don't take seriously what children say. And in order for the macha'a to be valid, it has to be something that's taken seriously. But even if you say b'fnei shnayim, it doesn't necessarily mean edus per se. It's not necessarily about edus, which we'll see in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to raise that issue, that maybe it is about edus. But the Gemara is going to suggest three possible explanations of what this machlokas is about, whether a macha needs to be in front of two people or in front of three people. So first possible explanation, lema b'derabba barafuna kamiflegi. Maybe this machlokas is arguing about the shita of Rabba Barafuna. Da'amar Rabba Barafuna, kamilsa demisamra ba'apetlasa, lespa mishum lishna bisha. Rabba Barafuna has this great chiddush that anything that's said in front of three people is no longer subject to the isra of Lashon Hara. Mandyam Rabbi Shnayim, less play the Rabbi Barafuna. Now, what's the svara that if something is said in front of three people, it's no longer subject to Lashon Hara? Because Lashon Hara is when you go and spread the word. But if the word is already spread, everyone already knows about it, you're not spreading anything, then it's not going to be a violation of Lashon Hara. Yeah, so apparently when something is said in front of three people, we assume everyone will know about it. So the one, so if you actually hold that that's true, so then you hold that you need a macha in front of three people, because that's apparently the magic number that makes sure that the word gets spread. So the one that says that a macha only needs to be in front of two people disagrees with Rabbi Arafuna. And if you hold that the macha has to be made in front of three people, then you agree with Rabbi Arafuna that three people is the magic number. Now there's a lot of discussion of exactly what are the qualifications of this din and what's the nature, what's the explanation of this din. Something is said in front of three people so you can viciously slander other people because, oh, three people know about it, so that makes it okay. So there are a number of approaches in the Mishnah. The Rashbam over here writes that if someone tells Lashon Hara about someone else in front of three people, you're allowed to go and tell it to that person and say, you should know this fellow spoke Lashon Hara about you, because Chavrcha Islay, and therefore he's going to find out about it anyway. And by something that's also this Barsim, as he's going to find out about it anyway, there is no Isser of Lashon Hara. So the Chavetz Chaim writes that according to the Rashbam, the Heter of Apiklasa is only after it's already been said in front of three people. L'chachili, you're not allowed to go and tell the Lashon Hara or the Rechilus in front of three people, because then he should have said, the Rashbam should have said a greater Chiddush, that you're allowed to say it in front of three people. So it must be, no, there's no heter to say Lashon Hara in front of three people. It's once it's been said in front of three people, you're then allowed to share it. Tosfos writes that the heter of apitlasa is that lechatchila you're allowed to say it in front of three people, because once you know chavrcha chavr islay, you know it's going to get back to him, and it's as if you're saying it in front of him, and you're allowed to tell a person if you have an issue with him, you're allowed to tell it right to his face. Saying it in front of three people is the equivalent of saying it to his face. Now the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, he has problems with this Tosos. Why would it be mutter to be megane es chaveru, to say terrible things about somebody in front of three people? The Torah is very makbid about being mevaza other people. L'chora, if you're mevaza in front of more people, it's a greater bizayon, and your avera is a greater avera. So you say, the Chavetz Chaim explains based on Tosos and Masech Zarach and Daftaz Vav and Beis, that says that the Heter of Apiklas is only things that are not really clearly Lashon Hara. And this is critical. He says that the Heter of Apiklas is something that could be taken in two ways. That could be understood the Shvach, or could be understood L'Gnai. When you know that it's going to get back to the person you said it about, you'll be very careful about the way you say it. You're going to say it in a way that's going to be understood L'Shvach. Tosfos gives the example. He says, Eitzel Ploni Yesh Tamid Eish. There's always a fire by so-and-so. So it could be understood as a Gnai. Or it could be that you're telling someone how to, meaning that he's always eating, he doesn't stop eating, that like he's a gluttonous person, or you could just be giving advice. Oh, if you need a fire, that guy always has a fire. So you're going to say it in a way that's more endearing, that's more l'shvach, when you know that it's going to get back to that person. The Rambam seems to have a different take on this. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos Parag Zayin writes that im nemru dvarim elu b'fnei shlosha, kvar nishma adavar v'noda, v'im siper echad mina shlosha pamacheres, ein bo mishum isa lashon hara, v'hu shalo yiskavin l'avir akol galoso yoser. That if one of the three that heard it goes and tells it to other people, that's okay, as long as he doesn't have intention to try to spread the word. So Kesmish explains that according to the Rambam, there's no heter to spread the word and reveal it more than it would otherwise be heard. It's only if it happens to come up, you can assume that most people have already heard about it. So it sounds like from the Rambam, though, that you don't have any limitation in terms of the type of Lashon Hara that it is. That it could be that Divrei Gnai that you're allowed to say. Rabbeinu Yonah says that it's only in things that are that this heter only works for things that are not really Lashon Hara min HaTorah. That, for example, you say that a person damaged you or stole from you, and he doesn't want to do tshuva, he doesn't want to pay you back, he doesn't want to compensate you for what he took from you. Other averos that the person did, where you could say that the purpose is to encourage him to do tshuva, that you're going to embarrass him into doing tshuva. But stam, just to say negative things about a person, that Rabbeinu Yonah says would also not be permissible. There is a discussion in the poskim. What if you say in front of three goyim? Is that a valid? Do you have the heter of ape tlasa when you say it in front of non-Jews? So the Tshuva Shol V'Nishal says that it's only when you say it in front of three Jews. In front of three non-Jews, it's not considered something that's meforsim, and it would be is a lashon hara. There are a couple of ways to explain why that would be the case. Either you assume chavrcha chavr islay is only within an insular community, and when you're saying in front of non-Jews, the word is not going to necessarily get around. There are different circles of social circles. So you say in front of non-Jews, they're in their own social circles, so it's not going to get around the Jewish community. Or there may be an assumption that non-Jews are less interested in going around and talking about it, so it's not going to get around to everybody because they're simply not going to be talking about it as much as Jews would be talking about it. And one final point over here, the Chavetz Chaim has a suffix. What's the halach in the following case? Reuven tells Shimon Lashon Hara about Levi. Shimon then tells that which he heard in front of three other people. So now one of those three people are allowed to go and say, Bapetlasa. Are they allowed to say that Reuven was the originator? Meaning Reuven never said it in front of three people. Reuven told it to Shimon. Shimon said it in front of three people. So one of those three people are allowed to say the Lashon Hara. Can they say it in the name of Reuven? Can they say that, yeah, Reuven, meaning let's say Reuven is the one that has that has credibility. So when you say it, you want to say it in front of the Balamaisa, the person who actually heard it firsthand. Are you allowed to say it in the name of Reuven? So the Chavetz Chaim writes that based on what it says in the Sefer Yada Ketan on the Rambam in the ninth paragraph of Hilchos Deos, that the heter to say Lashon Hara is even b'shem Omram is because certainly the one who said it wants it to be known. That's why he told it to three people. L'chora, that doesn't work over here because Reuven told it to Shimon. He did not tell it to three people. But then the Chavetz Chaim disagrees. He holds that the real reason you're allowed to say it is because not because he wanted you to say it, but because it's understood that everyone already knows. So you're not really saying anything because everybody already knows about it. Well, if that's the case, everybody already knows that Reuven is the originator of this statement, and therefore it's going to be mutter to share with others. But the Chavetz Chaim is very, very careful about how one employs this heter. The most important thing, Chavetz Chaim paskens la'alacha, that it has to be, like we said from some of the Rishonim, that it has to be something that's like the Baal HaTos said, that could be understood in two ways. It can't be something that's absolutely negative, to just share something negative about other people. It has to be something, and it has to be that you need to have a good kavana, not to have kavana for saying something terrible. Okay, says the Gemara further now. We had one explanation of the machlokas, whether you need to say the macha in front of two people or you need to say the macha in front of three people. Maybe they're arguing about this halacha of lashon hara that was said in front of three people, whether it in fact counts as lashon hara or not. The parenthetically, I think we mentioned the other day, there is a discussion Rishonim, why isn't it lashon hara to make a macha? Meaning, if you're making a macha, isn't that a violation of lashon hara? So the answer is that we don't assume that that's when you're just protecting yourself. So that's a toeles. That's not called lashon hara. A person doesn't have to. It's like lifnei iver. We don't assume that it's a violation of lifnei iver if someone steals from you and you're not mafkir everything. Meaning you don't have to be mafkir just because someone decided to steal from you and say, I don't want him to be a gazan, so I'll be mafkir everything. That's not your obligation. That a person doesn't have to. A person is allowed to protect himself in a very very basic way. But then the Gemara suggests, no, maybe the machlokas over here is about something else entirely. Third line from the top, lo, du kulei alma islu d'rab barafuna. Everyone agrees with Rabba barafuna. Everyone agrees by Lashon Hara that three people is a heter. Over here the machlokas is, mandem b'fneishnayim kusav machal shalom b'fanav lo avi mecha. The one that says b'fneishnayim holds that machal shalom b'fanav doesn't work. Mandem b'fneigimu kusav machal shalom b'fanav have you macha'a? And the one that says it has to be in front of three people holds that macha'a shalom b'fanav is a valid macha'a. Meaning that when you say it in front of three people, that's ki'ilu you're saying it b'fanav, because he's definitely going to hear about it. You say it in front of two people, he might hear about it. He also might not hear about it. So that's a macha'a shalom b'fanav, because you don't know that he's necessarily going to hear about it, and that's really what the machlokas is about. Iba yisema, a third possibility of what they're really arguing about. Du kuli alma machal shalom b'fanav, have you macha'a? Everyone agrees that a machal shalom b'fanav is a valid macha'a. V'hacha ba'aka miflugi, why would you need three people? Mandyam b'fnei be'ez savar sahadusa b'inan. The one that says you make the macha'a in front of two people holds all you need is edus. And in front of two people is edus. Meaning, what do you need? You need edus that you said the macha'a. You just need someone to verify that you in fact said the macha'a. As Rashbam points out, v'day lanu b'shnei edim shia idu shemicha zeh b'toch gimel vim yava davel aznav yava demeach shiuch alavel aznav shemachzav b'shumin yibolam havi macha zlo chay shalo yisra behem lechasos hadavar. The point is, you shouldn't tell people not to say anything, but we don't have to know for sure that it's going to get back to the machzik. We just need edus that you in fact made a macha. Umanyam fregimul ksav gilui milsa b'inan. And no, it's not enough to have edus that you made a macha. We need to make sure that the whole world is going to find out about it. So that's really the machlokas, whether you need a macha b'fnei shtayim or macha b'fnei shlosha. Period. New discussion now. Gidol bar min yumei havalei machiyosa l'machuyei. Gidol bar min yumei had a macha to make. Ashkhin ul Rav Huna, Ulukhiya bar Rav, ul Rav Chilkiya bar Tuvi. Fantastic. He ran into three people, Dava Yasvi, that were sitting there, Ummacha Kamayu. And he made a macha in front of them, meaning he wanted to be machmir. L'chol adeos, this macha is good enough. Two people, three people, he's got three people, so it's perfectly fine. L'shana, the next year, Hada Asalim Chiyay, he came back to make another macha'a. Amalei lo tzrichas. Hachi amarav, kibit shemicha shan rishona, shuvin tzorech limchas. Nah, that's unnecessary. You don't need to say a new macha'a once you already made a macha'a the first year, so it's unnecessary to continue and make a macha'a in subsequent years. So you're good. V'igadamri, amalei chiyay barav, kibit shemicha shan rishona, shuvin tzorech limchas. And some say that chiyay barav is the one who told them that. That not all three in the group told them that, just chiyay barav is the one that told them that. But bottom line is, he told them the same thing. That once you made the macha in the first year, it's unnecessary to continue with any macha beyond that. If you look at Tosos points out, Kivin Shemich Hashan Rishon Hashuvin Tzarech Limchos Pirus HaKuntros Ad Sof Gimel Shanim. It doesn't mean that you never have to make a macha again. It means that that covers you for the first 3 years. That you made a macha at the beginning, so now you know for 3 years the person can't have a chazaka. V'im Tomer Masnisni D'Ketani Ad Kedei Sheyachzik Sharav Yodiyu Shana V'Yavel Shana Achars V'Yimcha Almadein Tzarech Limchos Shak Pamachas Tov Gimel Shanim. According to Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah, it's clear that the reason we have 3 years is so that by the end of the 3 years, you will have had the opportunity to make a macha. So isn't it clear that you only need to make a macha once in the course of the 3 years? Isn't that the whole point of Cheskas Gimel Shanim? So what's the chiddush over here? That if you said the macha once already within 3 years, you don't need to say it again within the 3 years. So Tosos says, no, the difference is, yes, we know that it's a valid macha at the end of 3 years, but I would have thought that if you made the macha at the beginning of 3 years, and then we haven't heard a sound from you since then, so I would have thought that that is not a valid macha, because you must have been moda if 3 years have gone by, and you haven't said anything. And it can't be that you don't have to make a macha ever again. It has to mean that you just don't have to make a macha again within those 3 years, but before 3 years from your last macha is up, then you're going to need to speak up again. Amrei Shlakish, back in the Gemara Mishum Bar Kapara, Vitzarech Limchos, Besov Kol Gimel V'Gimel, that you need to make a macha at the end of each 3 years. Taiba Rav Yochanan, V'chi Gazlan Yesh Lo Chazaka, why would you have to make a new macha at the end of each 3 years? Once you made a macha once, you've declared that this fellow is a Gazlan. Ooh, this may depend on whether you need to actually declare that he's a Gazlan. But once he's a Gazlan, he's suspect. He doesn't have a Chazaka on anything. So says the word Gazlan, Salkadaituch. Do we know that he's a Gazlan? What, because one person claimed that he's a Gazlan? Ela ki Gazlan yesh lo chazaka. No, but he's like a Gazlan in the sense that you've claimed that he's a Gazlan. So should he be able to have a chazaka? Amar Rava Hilchsa Tzarech Limchos Besov Kol Gimel V'Gimel. The halacha is that you need to make a new macha'a at the end of every 3 years. The Tani Bar Kapara, Irer Chaza V'Irer, Chaza V'Irer, Im Machmas Taina Rishoni Irer Ein Lo Chazaka, V'Im Lav Yesh Lo Chazaka. If a person is Ma'arer and then he comes back and he's Ma'arer again, if he continues to be Ma'arer consistently with the same Taina, then the person in the field does not develop a Chazaka. Meaning, if I keep coming back and saying every time that I'm Ma'arer, the reason I'm being Ma'arer is because he stole this field, I keep saying the same thing, then the guy has no Chazaka, my Macha is a good Macha. But if I keep changing the story, one year I come and I say, he can't be here, he stole this field. Another year I come and say, he can't be here because I gave it to him as a Mashkon and he kept it. And he kept it for himself, but it was really only a Mashkon. So those are two different tainas. Then my macha is not a valid macha. Just one last point over here. We said that tzarech limchos b'sof kol gimel, you have to make a macha at the end of every 3 years. Says Tosos, ein lefarish the time shlo yomer lekachti achar macha k'divirush hakuntros. Rashbam over here says the reason you have to make a macha at the end of every 3 years is because the guy will say, yeah, you made a macha, and because I was so nervous about that macha, I went and I bought it from you again. So no, that's not the pshat. Kivin dal karcho molded mei karo kodem macha lav b'toros mechira nachas ba ein nemel lomer achar ken kanisi. Because if that's what the guy claims, that I bought it from you after your first macha, then that's an admission that when I first took the land, I had not yet bought it. Once he admits that, he's done. Then it's a chazaka she'ini mataina. So that's not the reason that you have to they have to go back each and every 3 years to make a brand new macha. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from the bottom. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman.